You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded on Sundays at the 11 a.m. Mass at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia, Illinois. For more information on Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. Our associate pastor is Father Steve Gira. And now, enjoy the podcast.
Can you imagine going for your appointment with your therapist like this guy on the TV commercial? Pours out his heart, his story, his dreams, looking for guidance and direction. And his therapist, sitting there with pad and pen in hand, looks up at him and responds in what sounds to me like Polish. He says, "What?" And he gives him another long phrase in Polish. What sense does it make to pour out your heart and your mind and your soul to someone who's supposed to help you when you don't understand what they say to you in reply? That seems to me to be Peter. See, Peter is pouring out his heart and soul in concern for Jesus. Jesus is talking about going to die. If someone you love told you that they were going to do that, to die and suffer greatly, you'd probably do exactly what Peter did. Step aside. Let me fill you in on what really is the right thing you should be doing here. And Peter gets an answer that he has no idea how to interpret or understand. He is responding in love for Jesus, and Jesus calls him a devil. How do you make sense of that? It might as well be Polish or Greek or Japanese. And isn't it also you and me? We pour out our hearts in prayer to God. We bring our concerns, our needs, our worries, our anxieties, our hopes, and our dreams. And what do you hear? Greek? Polish? Japanese? Silence? Every once in a while, a phrase in the gospel strikes us in a new way, in a way that you might not have heard it before. And that happened to me this week with this gospel. And in particular, with this phrase of Jesus, who says to Peter, listen closely, "Peter, you are thinking like a human being. Hello, what are we supposed to do? Anybody here not a human being? Of course we think like human beings. We're born into this humanity of ours, a broken and frail, and often mistaken humanity. How can we not think like human beings at first? But of course there is another part to every one of us, that divine spark, the image of God in whom we have been created. That is also there. But how do we find it? How do we discover it? Only this way, I believe. When we admit that we think so often only in human terms, only when we admit that we know that we don't know what God has in mind, then and only then will we have an opportunity to come to know what God knows that we don't know." Sounds terribly confusing, doesn't it? But it's like your son or daughter, parents. And kids, you know, you've done this. I did it when I was a kid. Parents are trying to help kids understand something, learn something. And of course, when we're growing up, we think we already know it. So we say to our parents, "I know, I know, I know. Remember when I was trying to learn the game of bowling when I was a kid, and my dad would try to say, 'No, not that way, this way.' I said, 'I know how to do this.'" But of course, until we admit that we don't know, We can never be open to knowing in new ways and new understandings. And if we don't learn and we don't understand in a new way, beyond mere human understanding, we end up like poor old Jeremiah. Jeremiah, called to be a prophet, to speak for God, and I suspect he had in his mind, oh, this will be great. God's calling me to be a prophet. I can preach to the people, and they are going to listen to me, and everything's going to be turned around and be great. But Jeremiah, here's a message to preach to the people that must have sounded like Greek to them. They looked up at Jeremiah and said, "What? What do you want us to do? That's not the truth we know." And so he endured what he said was ridicule and scorn and laughter and derision. So much so that he thinks, "God, you tricked me. You duped me, O God." But it wasn't God who duped him. It wasn't that God tricked him. It was simply that Jeremiah didn't yet see and understand the broad, big, wide truth, the different language God was speaking. And so he wanted at one point here to quit. "I've had enough of this." Every preacher gets to a point where he or she has enough of this and says, "I think I'll give up. What good does it do?" But Jeremiah cannot keep it within. He must speak it because he knows it's true. So you and I, we cannot help but think like human beings, but we can challenge ourselves to be more than merely and only in the pattern of humanity for all of its generations. For what has thinking merely like human beings brought to the human condition? It has brought us thinking that slavery was acceptable. It brings us an idea and a rationalization, you know, how we can think our way into things, that some lives are of more value than others. It brings us to a place where we can even think that some people should be eliminated. It brought us to a place where just because some people thought or believed differently, they really were put to death. Can one even imagine such things? To rationalize amazingly that we can accept to destroy human life. That we can accept that all life is not sacred. That some can be done away with, violently perhaps. Or that some lives can be abused. Some lives are not worth it. We are challenged by Jesus to take up our cross. Now, there's many ways we can interpret a cross, but I would suggest to all of us today that one of the ways we can say, "I want to take up my cross," is to realize with Peter that if we're going to discover God's bigger truth, it means I must let go of my smaller one. Peter thought it was really right and true and just to defend Jesus and say, "No, this shouldn't happen to you." And he had to learn God's truth, that real life comes not by defending and protecting, but by handing it over, by serving and giving oneself even unto death. We must learn God's truth, even when it costs us. And we see those costs for us as individuals or as a community or as a church as we see the acceptance of the truth, as it was published in the newspapers last week, that we even as church have abused people, children, And that such truth must be accepted with all its consequences if we are to find life, the life to the full that Jesus offers us. Now, St. Paul put it succinctly. He said it in the second reading, "Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." In other words, seek God's truth. To be transformed in one's mind means necessarily, doesn't it, that whatever I have, I let go of, that I cannot stay the same, because transformation means of its very nature to be changed from within, to see a bigger picture, to let go of my smaller truths, to be open to God's bigger truth. This is what we do. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, as we open the pages of the gospel and we try to listen to Jesus, who it may seem at times is speaking to us in Greek or Polish or something else. And we say, "What do you want me to do? Forgive enemies? Love those who hate me? Lay down my life for one another? Desire a life of simplicity? Well, you want me to do what?" If it seems odd, if it seems strange, maybe it's simply the disguised truth of God being revealed to us, shown to us. We come to the Eucharist again Sunday after Sunday because it is here that the example St. Paul mentions is revealed. Paul said, "Offer your lives, offer your lives as a living sacrifice." This is what we do here in the example of Jesus, because we believe this truth, that it is only in dying, in self-giving, that we are born and find real life.